Welcome to Culture Clash, episode 184. Yes, sitting next to me is not one Kevin Reitzel. He has decided to abandon us and go on a Raider nerd adventure. Something about his 50th birthday. I don't know what's going on there, but you know what? Happy birthday, Kev, and have a good time. Just don't do too much Raider stuff, man. There's such a thing as Raider overload. I'm just saying. So, but you know what? I got somebody who's, I'm going to call him a renaissance man of fandom. I have known him for over 20 plus years. We worked together in a comic shop. That's where we first met. He is a physical therapist by day. At night, he is a stand-up comic, a beer connoisseur. He knows his beer. And you know what? He's an all-around good guy. And he has just himself started dipping his toes into the podcast realm with his special podcast with his special co-host, one Cheeky Pint, his favorite puppy. And glad to welcome to the podcast for the first time on the Fandom Podcast Network, Mr. Steve Brown.
Kyle, thank you for having me. It is a honor, a privilege. Very excited to be here. Culture Clashers, it is a thrill like no other to be a part of this. So I'm very excited. And happy birthday, Kevin. And I don't know, can you go on overload? It's Vegas, right? What happens in Raiderland stays in Raiderland.
I'm going to guess it's going to be a boring podcast when he comes back because, you know, there's nothing that's going
to be. He's going to have nothing to talk about.
Absolutely nothing to talk about.
So it's all downhill from here without. Yeah. Yes, well, thanks for having me, Kyle. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely. We've been wanting to get you on for a while. Hopefully, this is the first of many times onto the Clash. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but we had some news right before, about a couple hours before the show started, Kevin, and that was something that we've been waiting for a while. We finally have the launch date for the PS5, and I see that the Cheeky Pint has joined us.
Cheeky Pint has made it. She couldn't resist. She hears podcasts, she comes running. So she just wanted to say hi, because yes, she is the mainstay in the, I'm sorry, she's the mainstay in the Cheeky Pint and Steve's Everything Cool podcast, which you can find on Spotify. But all right, enough selfless.
We'll give you some more chance to hype yourself here in a little bit. So
she happened to walk in the room, so she heard me talking, so she came running in. So she's used to that because she's usually right here by my side when we do our little small town podcast.
Yeah, little small town, because you know Steve is also my neighbor. He lives in Sarasota, which is right about 20 minutes from where I live in Bradenton. So we've got that. But you know what, Steve? The announcement that PlayStation 5 is going to come out November 12th with two different versions. We've got the all digital version, which is going to retail at $399, and we've got the version with a disc drive that's going to retail at $499. Big news. This kind of counteracts the Xbox One X, which has the Xbox One S version, which is coming out like $299. The Xbox One X, which is the full souped up version, is
no longer one. I'm going to cut you off. Yeah. It's series. So these names for the last couple devices have really been confusing to me because I haven't had an Xbox in a long time. So it's Series S, Series X. There's no longer the word one. But yes, you're absolutely right. They're competing with each other, but the cool thing is both of them, for what you're getting, the price point is really spot on. I mean, if you put the power of these things into a computer, you're spending a lot of money. These things are powerful, you know, the two biggies. So I'm excited. I may dabble with both. I don't know.
I'm leaning PlayStation 5 right now with the exclusive games that Sony has, like Horizon Zero Dawn. They announced today a God of War game that's coming. Of course, the exclusivity of Spider-Man Miles Morales to strictly being a PS5 game. So,
all three of those huge. I mean, Horizon, hugely popular. Gods, of course, hugely popular. And then Miles Morales, that looks really, really, really cool.
Yeah, no, I am very excited for that. But you know what? We got a lot to talk about. Steve is here. Kevin is Raider nerding somewhere. So without further ado, let's do this thing.
This is the Culture Clash.
Yeah. again, welcome to Culture Clash episode 184. You know, of course, this is Culture Clash, your home for fandom news and reviews here on the Fandom Podcast Network. And you know what? There's lots of great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network, and you can find them all at our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. And of course, too, you can also find it on the Podbean mobile app. Just download that and search for the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, you can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Amazon Music, as well as some of your other favorite podcast catchers out there. Of course, we'd love for you to visit our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network, where we keep you updated with all the latest news going on in the world of fandom. And of course, if you want to contact us directly, you can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Of course, we're also on Instagram. You can find us there, Fandom Podcast Network, or on Twitter at FanPod Network. Of course, I'm Kyle. You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW. And on Instagram, it's AKyleFandom. If you're looking for Kevin, you can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. Steve, where can people find you on social media, especially with a little Cheeky Pite and Steve talk? Everything is cool.
I have no idea. No. I can't remember my Twitter handle because I had to change it. I think it's Skyfall Steve on Twitter. I don't do much on there. I'm still kind of old school with Facebook. You can find me by typing S.A.Brown on Facebook. Cheeky Pint is the real star, and she's on Instagram, and it's Cheeky_Pint. Or if you just hashtag Cheeky Pint, you're going to see pictures of Cheeky Pint. She does some really cool, these talking videos that we've been putting together where she does rants. I mean, she does lines from Star Wars. She does Liam Neeson. She does a lot of talk and a lot of riffing. She talked about the Tiger King. She did a whole thing on the Tiger King. So if you check out her on Instagram, she's the real deal. And on Instagram, I'm Beskar, like the metal, mm-hmm. that very special metal, not adamantium. We're not talking about adamantium. We're talking about Beskar. So it's Beskar Steve Instagram. That's where you'll find me. And mine's just a lot of random stuff. So again, I promote the podcast a little bit, but as you know, Kyle, it's only 5 episodes old. We started doing it during the pandemic, Cheeky and I, because we got a little bored in the house, and it's been fun. And I know you can find me on Spotify, and I use Anchor, so you can find me on Anchor. Other than that, I think it says iTunes and stuff. I really don't know where all you can find me. You know, it's starting to build a little bit. I did a really cool episode where I interviewed the owner of the Cock and Bull Pub Farmhouse place here in Sarasota. This is a legendary place when it comes to craft beers and beers around the world. And I interviewed the owner, Howie, and it was really cool because, you know, there's so much that goes into picking the right glass and pouring the beer the right way and these different styles. So it was kind of fun. We did about 45 minutes of craft beer and world beer chat. That was kind of neat. That was a neat episode. So I branched out a little bit. Cheeky couldn't make that one. She stayed behind on that one. But yeah, we're only 5 episodes deep on it, and it's fun. I'm averaging about 1 every week and a half, and they're 15 minutes to 45 minutes, and it's mostly genre stuff. I'm a comic book geek. Kyle knows that about me, and the pandemic ramped my interest back up in comics, so I'm back in the comic game. I'm reading both DC, Marvel, and some indie stuff. So I talk a lot about that, but nothing heavy, nothing too crazy. It is, again, called the Cheeky Pint and Steve's Everything Cool Podcast. Spotify is probably the easiest place to find me, Kyle. But thank you.
Yep, find him on Spotify. And, of course, too, if you want to support the Fandom Podcast Network, if you're watching on YouTube right now, of course, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. That lets you know when we go live and post new episodes up on YouTube. Of course, too, there's TeePublic, our TeePublic store at teepublic.com. Search for the Fandom Podcast Network. You can find all the gear, and much like these Type 40 shirt that I am wearing. Nice. Of course, our Type 40 Doctor Who show here on the Fandom Podcast Network, hosted by the amazing Dan Hadley, of course. They also have hoodies, they've got pillows, they've got laptop cases, stickers, pennants, all kinds of stuff over there. Just go to teepublic.com. And of course, we love reviews, especially on iTunes. And drop us that 5-star review, but we love the reviews in general because we love the input so we can make the podcasts better to feed your ears. Well, you know what, Steve? People have kind of learned a little bit about you here, but Cheeky Pint and Steve, everything is cool. And, you know, obviously your last episode, by the time you were done, I think we had to probably put you on a breathalyzer with all the beers you sampled.
That wasn't the last episode. I also did a you know, a tribute to our lost king, the Black Panther, Mr. Bozeman. I did one of those as well. But, yeah, the beer one, my brother came, Joel, he came and helped me on that one. So he handled some of the drinking duty on that one, though. So it was fun. I'll probably do that one like once a month.
There you go. So, well, you know what? We got a lot of things to talk about. Kevin isn't here, so I guess it's up to me. So without further ado, let's news!
Let's news!
We got a lot to talk about, but there's only one thing that's really important to talk about, Steve, and that is the trailer for The Mandalorian has finally dropped, and yet again, the child steals everything.
Oh, my God. I don't know if you want to go first, but I have some revelations that came to me a little later. I don't know if you want me to
No, you are the guest here, man, so just
I'm getting the VIP treatment here. I appreciate that. First of all, I'm just going to get like right in the middle of the trailer, and I died laughing when Mando pops out the wrist rockets.
Yeah, the whispering.
Yoda, the child, he knew what was going down, reached over, pop, closed the egg, and he got the hell out of there. And all of a sudden, you're hearing, you know, what the fight that ensues. But I just loved that the child knew what was about to go down and just beep, boop, close the, you know, the egg on himself and got the heck out of the way. And that to me, I was like rolling on the floor. But the very first time I watched the trailer, I've now watched it, I think, four times, like you, Kyle. I think the first time was on the phone and then three or four more on the big screen TV through Disney Plus. The first time I watched it, and they're walking into that city. Okay, first we see, of course, the Razor Crest looks like it's a little banged up. Something's going on. Yeah,
the back cargo bay door is wide open.
Right. So we're like, wow, that's intriguing. How did that happen? And later we see, you know, X-Wings and stuff. But they're walking into that city together. And the first thing that I noticed, which I really don't feel is familiar in live-action Star Wars, was graffiti. There was graffiti on the walls, and it didn't really register what that could be all about. And until the second time I watched it, and I'm like, graffiti, wait a minute. Who do we know that does graffiti in the Star Wars universe? Could it be Sabine? Sabine hanging out with Ahsoka? Is that the young lady that's from the WWE playing Sabine? Because they show this city at least twice with this, you know, graffiti going on. And we know that she was tagging and she was doing graffiti and she even did her own helmet. She's a Mandalorian. She's had the dark saber. It's a good fit facially, the way that girl looks with Sabine. At first I didn't even, oh, Cheeky squeaking a toy. I don't know if you can hear that, but this is a dog toy. So
there we go. Hey, we got dog toys here.
She's involved. She's got to be involved. But So I'm going to stop right there, Kyle, because again, the first time I saw it, I was just kind of like, what's up with this city with graffiti in Star Wars? And then later I'm like, oh, snap, I forgot about Sabine, Ahsoka. So what's your take on that?
Well, you know, a lot of people have been guessing that Sabine was going to be in the season of The Mandalorian, and a lot of people have been suspecting that Sasha Banks, the WWE superstar, who had been rumored to be in a cast in The Mandalorian, but nobody had any idea what was going on, possibly could be Sabine. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But the trailer itself was just phenomenal from start to finish. We see, obviously, Greef Karga and Cara Dune as well in this trailer. Incredible shot of speeder bike, Biker Scouts on speeder bikes. That was just
amazing. That was so cool. That was so cool, the whole drop down and Yeah. There's so much cool in it without overly revealing. I think we got some neat little teases if you really dissect, and I'm clearly kind of dissecting this Sabine thing. But it makes sense because, again, isn't that where we left off with Rebels, with Sabine and Ahsoka out looking for Ezra? Speaking of Ahsoka, I don't know if you guys can see that shirt right there. Okay. Anyway, you know, that looks intriguing to me. And I can't wait. And the only downside is, you know, and again, I'm okay with Disney doing one episode a week, because I would ruin it for myself and watch them all at once and I'd be done and the party would be over. So to give it to me once a week, I just wish these episodes were a little longer. You know, my I'm looking forward to it. I'm a little disappointed in the fact that they're a little shorter. I don't know if you've heard anything, Kyle, as far as number of episodes or length of episodes or anything like that. But, you know, I'm just afraid that we're going to watch that first episode and not till the very end we're going to get, you know, something really exciting like we did in the first season. And then we got to go from there. We got to wait, which is great. Again, it's Game of Thrones. They're now doing it with the boys, which we're going to talk about later. You know, some people really want it all at once so they can handle how they binge watch, but I can't control myself. So, you know, give it to me in increments, but I know it's going to be tough. You know, I'm anxious to see all of it now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I am too. I'm really excited. I'm like you, the scene where the child sees what's about to go down and shuts the egg is the best part of that trailer, without a doubt. Like, I have days I feel like I want to do that, but you know,
we all need one of those.
Yeah, exactly. Our good friends over at What a Piece of Junk are going to be diving deep into the Mandalorian trailer here on a future episode. So make sure to check that out with Nathan Miracle, Scott Botman, and Derek Marsh, probably coming within the next week or so. And you know what? We're less than 2 months away from the Mandalorian itself. So bring it on.
It's what is it? Halloween? It's like October 30th.
October 30th.
Yeah, and we're already September 16th, so it's 6 weeks away. I can't wait. I just want to stay healthy and stay alive long enough to see it. That's how I felt about everything about Star Wars. Just, you know, let me see that, you know. Otherwise, they'll make a movie about me, how I have to contact Jon Favreau, and he's going to have to let me watch it, you know.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit to another major franchise, and that is the MCU, Steve. And they're getting a dose of Lovecraft Country into the MCU, as Jonathan Majors, the star of Lovecraft Country, has been cast to play Kang the Conqueror in the next edition of Ant-Man, with this probably leading into something where Kang is going to be a major villain in the Marvel Universe, because Kang has always been kind of at that Doctor Doom level in the Marvel Comics realm as well.
A very respected villain, I guess, for lack of a better term, Kang. He's in the top, you know, he's in that tier. You know, he's up there in the top five of villains. Very interesting villain. We've got time travel, super intellect. I dig the casting, and I only just recently know about this guy. But when I started reading about this young actor, this guy is like a legit thespian. I mean, he is a real deal actor, and he's very well trained and very well respected. So it's cool that he's got his own, you know, show with the Lovecraft Country. But I'm curious. I wish we could get a little inside on how it went down, where they decided, like, okay, we know he's going to hit it big on this show. It's going to be a big deal. And we are going to snatch him up for this role in the Marvel Universe. That's the part that intrigues me. I'm curious to know how it all went down.
Rule number one of the MCU is always trust Kevin Feige.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a given. That's a given. They pick the right people for these things. I mean, you know, if you had to sit down and like recast, you know, it would be difficult to do better than the choices they've made. So I think it's exciting. But it's going to be an Ant-Man 3, and then it could obviously go into the Avengers and what have you.
Yeah, correct. And one of the big things about this being an Ant-Man, I know a lot of people are saying, why are they wasting Kang in Ant-Man? you have to remember, Kang is a time traveler. And it actually makes sense for him to actually maybe to be hunting down Ant-Man, because it was Ant-Man really discovering the loophole in Endgame for the time theft.
as we would say.
So it makes some sense of what could happen there. So it's going to be really interesting. I'm a big fan of Jonathan Majors. I think he's definitely on the young up and coming superstar actor list. I cannot wait to see what's going to happen. I'm excited we're getting an Ant-Man 3. Those are some of the most fun of the Marvel movies. I have enjoyed the first two immensely.
I really enjoy Paul Rudd in that role. I think it brings natural humor, and we've seen a lot of good humor between, the Thor Ragnarok and anything that Robert Downey Jr. does. But Paul Rudd, he's in a league of his own as far as just naturally a funny guy, but he also pulls off that lead character, and I can't wait. I think it's going to be super cool. Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun. It's been staying within the MCU. A couple of things here. One, I knew about, and then another one that was announced today. The Falcon Winter Soldier has resumed shooting, which I cannot wait for this. Of all the Disney Plus shows that are going to be within that first bunch, this is the show I personally am most excited about. I mean, I'm a big fan of Sebastian Stan as the Winter Soldier. Obviously, Anthony Mackie as the Falcon, and now at least a version of Captain America getting the shield at the end of Avengers Endgame, going based off of something that happened in the comic books. But one of the things I'm really excited about this was too is the fact that Wyatt Russell is going to be playing the U.S. agent in this movie, in this show.
Refresh my memory who Wyatt Russell is?
Kurt Russell's son was in that movie Overlord.
Oh, that's Wyatt Russell. Yeah, he named him after Wyatt Earp and the Tombstone and all that. I like that kid. I like that guy. He's done some neat stuff. And he's going to be playing who? I'm sorry?
The U.S. agent, John Walker.
Okay. That works for me. That's something to be excited about. When do you think this show would potentially drop on Disney Plus?
I'm thinking we might see it by November. But what's even more interesting is that the other Disney Plus show that has been talked about for a while that a lot of people are really hyped on is WandaVision, which is the Vision Scarlet Witch show.
Yeah. And
Disney today said that WandaVision will in fact drop sometime in 2020.
This is 2020. We're approaching the end here. So yeah, we could get this thing at the holidays or maybe.
Yeah. I'm thinking WandaVision like might start like right at the beginning of December, because everything that's been reported is WandaVision is also going to have a direct tie-in into the second Doctor Strange film.
Oh, cool.
And possibly even the Eternals.
Oh, yeah. I just ordered Eternals number one on DCBS today. I like that artist. Don't toy with me on this 2020 thing. It hasn't been an easy year. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but it hasn't been an easy year. At least for me. I don't know about the rest of the world, but it's been a little bit of a rough year. No, so don't toy with me and then take it away. But no, that would be really cool if we got that, and then in 2021, when is the Black Widow supposed to drop?
That's been one of the things. It looks like it's going to get moved again. It's now looking as a like November 6th will be the date for Black Widow, and it looks like Wonder Woman is getting moved to Christmas Day.
Okay, so we're still getting those again, 2020. It's just tough. I know that they spend a lot of time and money, and obviously they make these things to make money, but they want people to be able to have access and see them and enjoy them. And, it hasn't been easy, obviously. I know you've been to the movies a couple times of late, and it sounds like you've had pretty good experiences. So
yeah, small crowds. Yeah, there hasn't been a lot of people. And then I saw New Mutants. I enjoyed that for the portrayal of the characters. I went and saw Tenet. That was interesting. Christopher Nolan might be risk running a little bit of getting too much caught up in his own trick. Kind of like a little M. Night Shyamalan disease, just a little bit.
Well, these guys both have a definite flavor to them. And yeah, you got to be careful. And I do want to see it because, I like the people in it. I like Chris Nolan's work. You give it at least a thumbs up to go see.
Absolutely. It's definitely a go see, if nothing else, for the performance of James David Washington. But yeah, no.
I don't mean to get off track about that, but real quick, Kyle, as far as movies at the theater, you know I'm a big Russell Crowe fan. And when I saw the trailer for this new film, what is it called? He's a road rage kind of guy.
Unhinged.
Thank you. Now, I kind of thought, you know, a little bit like, I why is he doing this? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I talked to somebody that saw it, and they said this thing was nonstop from beginning to end. Like, they were really entertained by this movie. And I kind of thought about it, and I'm like, I guess Russell Crowe wouldn't just do any schlocky thing to do it. Have you heard anything about the movie? Obviously it's a wait for streaming, and a fun late night movie to watch, but it sounds like it may be better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. All's quiet on the Western front, as far as getting anything on Unhinged from people who have seen it. I think a lot of people are saying this just feels like it's a Netflix film and waiting for that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but we do have one more piece of MC news.
Yes.
To Steve. And this is actually kind of a big one. It involves one of the Chris's, and no, it's not that story. So we are not going there. But it does involve Thor himself, Chris Hemsworth, who has announced he has no plans to leave the MCU anytime soon. He says he absolutely loves what they're doing in Thor, Love, and Thunder. And he says, you know what? Thor's like, I'm only in my 40s. Thor's hundreds of years old. I got a long way to go yet as Thor. I think this is great news, because I think having one of the originals still being a key part of the MCU is a very good thing for Marvel right now, especially after everything that happened with COVID and movies getting bounced all around. Having that familiar face there, I think, is going to be a big thing.
I have to disagree with you 100%, Kyle. I'm a little disappointed, because I thought I would get a shot at the fat, drunk Thor role if he was going to step aside. Okay, I thought I was going to get that call. Hey, we want you to be the video game and the social media drinking Thor. And now it's over. They're going to let him wear these prosthetic things. The girls don't get to look at the abs anymore. I hope he stays fat. That's all I'm saying. I'm kidding. Anyways, I'm very excited. I love Chris Hemsworth. I think he's cool as shit. Pardon my, I didn't mean to curse on
that's
here.
Okay.
you can edit that. That's how I feel about it. I dig the Hemsworth guys, and he does the character well. And, I would hate to see, you know, that's almost the big three. If you're talking Iron Man and Captain America and Thor, if all three of those guys were kind of done, then it's a major rebuild. But I'd like to see him stick around for a while. Whether he's doing another Thor movie, I don't know. But I'd sure love to see him in at least one more Avenger movie, or show up in, whether it's a cameo in Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, what have you. These things are all so entertaining that, obviously you can't really change the character. I mean, Thor was a female for a while in the comics. There was maybe thought of that, and now they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with Black Panther, and they're talking about the sister becoming the Black Panther in the movie. It's exciting. I dig Chris Hemsworth, and he nails it. And it really reminds me of when we went back to the Ultimate comics, how that they envisioned those characters, we had our Nick Fury and, Samuel L. Jackson and all that. So it's cool. I dig it. I when did this announcement happen? Is this just in the last week with the Hemsworth?
Just within the last week. Another thing is, it looks like Thor will be part of Guardians of the Galaxy 3 for at least a little bit in that too. Because if you remember at the end of Endgame, he took off with the Guardians. So
right.
We're going to get a lot of Hemsworth here in our MCU. Like I said, I think this is
the best stuff. Yeah.
That was and then Hemsworth did say in the interview too, he has much fun as he had with Thor Ragnarok, Love and Thunder is 1,000 times more fun.
Really?
So I'm looking forward to seeing what Taika is going to do with this and doing with everything.
He can do no wrong.
Yeah. He's on a roll.
He can virtually do no wrong. No, I'll give him my money all day long. Would there in the Eternals, when is that supposed to come out?
We're looking at February right now. That's still slated for February. We'll see. Obviously, things are still in a state of flux. I want to ask you real quick, too, before we take a little break here, Steve. The Dune trailer.
Yeah.
I was kind of wondering to get your thoughts on the Dune trailer because I thought it was mind-blowing visually, which is everything I expected from it. I think the biggest thing for Dune is actually the translation of the actual story to the big screen is more key there. But the visuals are just mind-blowing.
I never read the Dune books. Very familiar with the Dune books, but never read the Dune books by Frank Herbert. But love the filmmaker, Villanueva. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, Denny Villanueva.
Yeah, yeah. I love everything he's done. I like his vision. I like the way he approaches things in a very serious manner. To me, it's kind of how Peter Jackson approached the Lord of the Rings stuff. Just very, like, almost like it's historical. Just very, very serious. But the cast is just outstanding. I mean, there's just one person after another that I love in this movie, and I can't wait to see their performance. It reminds me of when I was a kid, and the Dune movie came out originally that David Lynch did, how excited I was that Sting was going to be in it, because I've always loved the police and loved Sting, and he was going to play this character, Fade. And I was so excited to see one of my heroes, Sting, in a movie. And I still actually like that movie. I know people are a little sketchy on it, but it's just kind of disturbing and creepy enough. Kyle MacLachlan, I think, does a good job in it. I like the costuming. So there's enough in that movie that makes me give it a thumbs up overall. But I cannot wait for the new one. And I just, again, the cast and the visuals and the trailer, I think, and we only got, I think, just a little taste of it. You know, I think there's so much more to this movie than what we saw.
Yeah. Just a quick shout out to the chat too. The birthday boy himself, Mr. Reitzel, has popped him, taking a break from vacation, pop in and say hi. I think he's just trying to check up on me, making sure I'm not burning down the podcast or something along those lines. I know he's packing. He's going, getting ready for Vegas. I think he's headed up to Joshua Tree first and then off to Vegas. So, you know, I know he's just trying to figure out a way to find the exhaust port so he can actually get into what they're calling the Death Star at that stadium in Vegas. So he can actually sneak in and check it out before Mark Hamill flies in and blows the whole thing up. I'm just saying that, but you know what? We're going to take
a Death Star died. Anyway. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, that might happen every time the Chiefs come to play the Raiders in that stadium anyway.
So. Probably.
Patrick Mahomes equals Luke Skywalker. I can do this because Kevin isn't on the podcast.
He can't fight. He can't fight back. And I'm not going to fight this battle for him because I'm a Lions fan and I just want to cry all the time.
Anyway, well, yeah. Okay. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back because we've seen a few things around here. So we'll be back right after this break telling you what else is going on around the Fandom Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to the Fandom Podcast Network and all of the other awesome shows we have to offer. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture news podcast. Blood of Kings, our Highlander podcast. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite pop culture topics. End Zone, the NFL podcast. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville podcast. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. Lethal Mullet, a 1980s and 90s action film podcast. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. And our newest show, Making Treks, a new Star Trek podcast with a deep dive into the final frontier with host Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Fandom Podcast Network is also on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Facebook under Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
And welcome back to The Clash. I'm here with Mr. Stephen A. Brown. Kevin is on vacation. I don't know why I allow him to do that. He takes 5 or 6 a year. I don't know. He's doing Raider things. Probably has his Mando helmet with him. He's going to be in the desert wearing that Mando helmet. I think he might lose a few pounds wearing that thing. I'm just saying. That's going to be awful hot for that Mandalorian too. Steve.
Yo.
You're a little familiar with the Culture Clash. You know what happens when we see a few things around here, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's time to once again buy it, stream it, or unsee it. And Steve, I don't believe a word you say right now.
No, I'm familiar with this segment. I'm familiar. So, and you hit me with anything, and I'll give you my take on it. Yeah.
Even if he hasn't seen it, ladies and gentlemen, but I know he's seen these things.
I still have a take. I'll have an opinion on everything.
Well, you might have an opinion on the Clippers, but that's a whole other podcast. But let's start off with the thing everybody's been talking about and waiting for, I think, with maybe one of the most anticipated things of 2020, and that is The Boys Season 2, Steve. Finally hit on Amazon. We got 3 episodes right out of the gate with a 4th, and we've also had a little short with Billy Butcher. I have not had a chance to see that yet. But Steve, what were your impressions of The Boys? Because I'm going to say this. I thought they had it turned up to 100 at the end of the first season with everything. Mm-hmm. They've cranked it up to about 10,000 in season 2.
Yeah. If I'm Garth Ennis, I'm really thrilled with what they're doing with this thing. It's everybody is so good. This guy that plays Homelander is so entertaining.
Yeah. And Anthony Starr is his name.
Anthony Starr, yes, and it's funny to see interviews with him, you know, outside the show, and I watch all the little segments and the interview things and stuff like that. But the intensity of when he's in a scene, because he is so powerful, and how they have to act around him, is just you feel it yourself. It's so well done, but. You know, I don't want to spoil anything in case people aren't current on it, but some of the things that just like, I mean, you literally are like, oh snap, I can't believe they just did that. You know, love the show. I mean, I always kind of do a comparison with, you know, what's going on with Umbrella Academy. Here's 2 seasons of Umbrella Academy. Here's 2 seasons of this. I think of it, okay, if there was real people with powers in our world and how it would kind of go down. You know, obviously Umbrella Academy a bit more quirky, but boy, that second season was really entertaining, really fun. You really got to love these characters. And in this show, you know, you've got Billy Butcher and the boys. I just got to say right now, Mother's Milk is my favorite character. And now we've gotten more about his backstory and the fact that he's got OCD. Really, I love the guy. And I dig that. I just the new girl Stormfront, who's kind of pushing Homelander a bit. It's so good. And when the episodes drop, I'm like right there, you know, tuning in. Because it's just so good, and it's like one of those shows where it's like, I don't want this thing to end. I don't want it to end. It's just so entertaining.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, all the time, and they're like, Boys, what is that? And then you kind of got to explain it. And you know, again, we're talking about people that aren't into the kind of the geek culture and the fandom world, and they're, you know, they're sticking to other things like Narco and the one with Krasinski, Jack Ryan, stuff like that. So I'm like, just try a couple episodes. You're going to dig it. And they all come back to me and they're like, that show is so cool. Yeah. You know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say too, with season 2 so far, we're going to try to avoid a bunch of spoilers, but we've got to talk about maybe one of the best cameos of all time. And that is Patton Oswalt.
I love him in virtually like everything he does. I mean, I started watching AP Bio, you know, just because of him as the principal, but that show's a complete hoot. Patton Oswalt is so entertaining in everything he does. And I love the fact, because he is a geek, he is a nerd, he is a fanboy. I love the fact that he can get on these kind of shows. Like when he was on, what's
Shield?
The Marvel's?
Marvel's Agents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He is a welcome presence anywhere. Yeah.
And it's one of the more unique cameos ever. You don't actually see him on screen, but you definitely know that voice when you hear it.
It's
out there. It's unique, and it's something only the boys would do. But I mean, mm-hmm. there's things that happen in this season. I'm thinking animal rights people might not be real thrilled with the boys at the moment, but that's a whole other thing.
They cross a lot of lines on this show. Yeah.
The whole thing with Homelander and the Changeling, a little creepy.
It's brilliant though, isn't it? Isn't it brilliant? Yeah. It is creepy, and it's you can't look away. You can't look away. And there's times that you feel guilty for not looking away, but that show, it really strikes a nerve. It's a really, I don't know, they're just doing such a good job with it. I don't know who all's involved with the making of it. You would know better than I, Kyle, but I really hope that, you know, when this runs its course, those same people are doing some other stuff in this kind of world, you know.
Yeah, shout out to Jack Quaid, who plays Huey Campbell too, of course, being part of that Quaid family tradition.
Yeah, he's royalty. Yeah. He's good. I love him.
But there's another show that I actually connected you to and showing you the trailer of this, and it's the new Ridley Scott show exclusive to HBO Max. And I wasn't quite sure what to expect. The trailer looked phenomenal, and I have been blown away by this show, and that is Raised by Wolves, Steve.
Yes. I just have to say Kevin Costner is outstanding in this thing. Oh, wait a minute.
Exactly.
That's a whole nother wolf thing. I'm sorry. I had to go there. I do like Kevin Costner's show. The
Yellowstone is a phenomenal show.
Yellowstone. Yes. Yeah. That's cool. But I think we have to take our time and dissect Raised by Wolves. It's got Ridley Scott all over it. You know, I mean, just the feel and the look.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Very much has a Prometheus feel to it as far as the design.
Everything he's ever done, every Alien he's ever done and all these things, you know, it has a certain feel and vibe. Very well done as far as a not so distant future, as far as what it might be like. And this one, they explore religion and where we're heading with robotics and androids, and I mean it's endless, but it seems simple at first as you watch it because you're not really sure, you know, what you're watching. The name, I guess, could kind of rub people the wrong way a little bit. You know, I don't know, you know, it's like certain, you know, it's I don't know. I don't. You know, I didn't really read why they named it this. But
well, no, actually, can I interject? Let me interject here as far as the naming of it. It's very obvious because it's more about a little bit of wolves in sheep's clothing, with the reveal of what one of the two main androids is, and then what we find out in the second episode about who one of the human characters is. So.
Right.
So I think that's kind of where the wolves part comes in is you got a little bit of wolves in sheep's clothing working in this show. But one of the things I love about the show too is, I mean, I watched the first episode and my jaw hit the floor because I was not expecting what happened in the first episode to happen.
Right.
I mean,
and again, I imagine we're kind of trying not to spoil this show.
Okay, we can have a little spoiler alert if it's a little bit of a spoiler alert here. There's going to be some of this review to talk about where we can't not say something about certain aspects.
Okay. Even when the here's the deal though. Even when the show, and I hate the word bored or boring because I'm never bored or you know, nothing's ever boring to me.
It kind of slows down. It kind of has a little bit of slower pace.
So let's say there's a bit of a lull. So again, people need to keep in mind that this is a series, not an hour and a half or 2 hour movie. So if there's a lull or if they're thinking that, okay, the storyline right here is a little bit boring, the visuals alone, I just find so intriguing. I really get immersed into the show and the look and what's going to happen next. And again, they're on a foreign planet. So that's, you know, a bit of, you know, interest right there. You don't know what's out there, what's going to happen. They have this plan and the plan isn't really working very well. It's like Malcolm from Jurassic Park, you know, it's the chaos theory. Things never seem to work out. There's always these interruptions and that's kind of what they're dealing with. And I like, what's the actor's name that was in Vikings that's on this show?
One second here, and I can tell you this.
I really like this guy. He has a great presence. He kind of reminds me of the guy from Sons of Anarchy.
Travis Fimmel. He was also on Warcraft.
He was a main character in that. So he's in this show, and I didn't even expect that. All of a sudden, here he is in this show, and how that comes about is some really good written sci-fi. Now, the guy that wrote this, and I can never remember his name because it's a little bit of a complicated name,
Aaron Guzikowski.
He hasn't really done much in the way of sci-fi, but he did that really cool movie with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. What is it? Prisoners or Prisoners?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really intense drama. So, you know, the guy's got writing chops, but all of a sudden he's created this really interesting sci-fi story that I'm along for the ride. I want to see where it goes. Now, I usually trust HBO pretty much on everything they do. And I think most people should. So I think people should go and check this thing out. You know, I mean, again, is Westworld completely done, Kyle?
No, it's got a season to still come out yet.
Okay, so we're in between on that. Game of Thrones is over, and they just announced that they're going to do that prequel thing for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But again, I think, you know, faith in HBO and check this thing out. But, you know, look at it like art. Look at it, you know, take your time, absorb it, check it out, and wait for it to reveal itself. I think it's only going to get better, and I think it's really cool, really interesting, really intriguing. But I think there's more to come that we have to look forward to. Yeah. I could be wrong, but that's how I feel about the show.
Now, one of the things I really like, too, is one of the characters is what they call a necromancer. But it has that old school science fiction feeling to the look of it, like from something from Metropolis or something like that.
Absolutely, because I know what you're talking about. And again, I didn't really want to spoil anything. So I'm talking very vague about the show. But once they start getting into the second and third episode and you start seeing how all this came about and the war on our planet and how this came about, it, you know, because when that first happens to that character mother, you're like, did she even know that she was this? You know, I mean, I don't know. It's there's so much going on there that I just want to go back and watch the whole thing again.
Yeah, there's a lot of mysteries going on. I just want to shout out too, real quick, to two of the actors in this: Amanda Collin, who plays mother, and Abukar Salim, who plays father. The two androids that are in place to take care of these children that are on this planet with them. They're phenomenal performances, not only because they know they're playing an android, but because they still have like these human type qualities. It's very, very similar to like comparing it to another Ridley Scott thing, Bishop and Aliens, kind of, you know, android, but still feels like, okay, there's some humanity in here.
Well, watching the first episode, you don't even realize that they're not human. And you're really not 100% sure what's going on. It just looked like two people that, you know, are kind of sort of crash landing on this planet. And then it goes from there with the embryos and the children and what the plan is. They start to reveal what their mission, if you will, is. And there's enough going on there that you see that really is intriguing, but there's enough not going on that makes you really interested in what's to come. I dig it. I'm one episode behind, and I kind of can't wait for this weekend to come. I've had a busy week at work. I can't wait for this weekend to come so I can catch up on it. What night does that come out, Kyle?
Thursday nights it comes out. Thursday nights we'll have
another tomorrow night?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll have one or two because they dropped two last Thursday. So I don't know if they're going to drop another two or just another one.
Okay, so I could have two to watch by this weekend, maybe three to watch. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So let's talk about one more HBO series before we wrap up. Buy it, stream it, or unsee it. That is Lovecraft Country, which has been kind of the HBO show that's really has been the one everybody's talking about. It's been the water cooler show. This show is out there. I mean, this show is way out there, but it is so superbly acted and it's so very well written. It's a little bit crazy, but it crazy works for this. Steve, I've been blown away with what I've seen with Lovecraft Country, mainly by the performances of the lead actors in this. Obviously, we talked about Jonathan Majors a little bit earlier with his casting as Kang to be in Ant-Man, but he is phenomenal in this. But I'm a big fan of Journey Smollett, who a lot of people will know from playing Black Canary in the latest Harley Quinn Birds of Prey film. She is absolutely phenomenal and steals this show anytime she is on the screen.
I have watched episode one and most of episode two, so I'm behind because I only just recently got HBO Max, and I started when I got it really going after Raised by Wolves, so only recently started watching Lovecraft Country. Not only is she an engaging actress, she's gorgeous. And so that doesn't hurt either. But the time period and what they're dealing with racism, and
Steve, if you're there, you lost your sound. A little technical difficulties. We got some storms going on here in Florida. It's been playing a little havoc
with the internet.
I'll just say, let's explain. We lost your sound there for a minute, Steve. We got some storms going on in Florida. It's been playing a little havoc.
Yeah, we got some issues here weather-wise.
So what you were saying, you were just talking about Journey Smollett and what was grabbing you from her. Obviously, just the energy she has on screen.
Her presence, amazing, beautiful girl, which does not hurt. But the time period and what they're dealing with the racism and stuff like that, it kind of, you know, there's a little bit of a parallel to the Watchmen series that was so good. But then the supernatural Lovecrafty aspect of what's going on. I'm only, like I said, an episode and a half into this thing. And I hope it's a water cooler show. I hope you're right and people are talking about it because now that I've kind of dipped into it, another one I can't wait to get to this weekend and get caught up on. And now knowing that this actor has been cast as Kang in the Marvel Universe makes me even more interested in his performance and you know what he's doing on screen just because I'm like, oh, cool, he's going to be that guy, you know? Wow. So, really cool show, really interesting. Like I said, I'm in the second episode and they're now in this interesting mansion and there's interesting other characters being introduced. And half the time I'm like, how did that happen? What's going on? But, I'm in, and I'm along for the ride. I dig it.
Yeah. A couple other people in this is, we've got Michael Kenneth Williams who plays Montrose Freeman. You will get to him later in the show. Steve, you're not to his point yet. And Courtney B. Vance, who plays the uncle.
Yeah. What do I know him from? I know he's been in stuff.
Courtney B. Vance has been in a lot of things, Steve. He was just recently in that movie, Jamie Foxx movie, Project Power. Let's see here.
What TV show has he been in recently?
State of Affairs, Masters of Sex, Revenge, The Closer, Flash Forward, Extraordinary Measures. He was on ER for several episodes back in the day. He's just one of those guys.
I know his face. I know the actor.
He was also in Hunt for Red October. He was in Space Cowboys, Dangerous Minds, Probably what you might know him from, Steve, is Office Christmas Party with Olivia Munn. We've lost your sound again. The storms are kicking butt. Well, there you go, and you're back again. Yeah. Like I said, we got lightning going on. It makes for all kinds of fun things. But yeah, you would know him, like I said, from Office Christmas Party, where he was had a little fun with Olivia Munn.
Right, right. I love him in this show because I like the character. When they first get to that mansion in the second episode, this isn't spoiling anything, and they're just doing the Jefferson song going on up, and they're all kind of like dancing around, and they took a shower, they're wearing clothes, they got clothes that fit. He's going through the library because he wants to read these books and stuff, and I don't know. It just it's a very entertaining show. But you told me that you talked to somebody that there is some craziness yet to come on the most recent episode. And I'm a few behind.
Yeah. Just put it in polite words, it's the most screwed up episode of television he has seen in several years.
I'm sure he didn't say screwed up, but yeah. Like I said, you're putting it nicely. So I know this character you're talking about. So if he said that, then I can't wait to see the episode.
Yeah. One of the other characters I'm very fascinated by in the show is the character of Christina. And you've seen her in the first episode, the young blonde.
That drives the Rolls Royce?
The old classic Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
She does play a bigger role as you get in a little later. She's played by Abby Lee. Very interested in this character. I love this show. I love what it's dealing with, considering the times we're living in now. Yeah, I'm loving the fact it's kind of addressing some of the history that's unknown about H.P. Lovecraft that people should know about. But again, it's just it's creative. It's got this unique energy to it. I don't think there's been anything like this in a good while on television to this extent. And again, HBO, you said it when you were talking about Raised by Wolves. It's very rare that they don't hit at least a double or a triple, if not a home run right out of the box with their programming, and they just continue to roll on it. I love the HBO Max app. There's a lot of great stuff on that as well, but a lot of good things. I'm going to say The Boys, Raised by Wolves, and Lovecraft Country for me, Steve, I give them the highest ranking. They're all buy it.
Absolutely. I say buy it too. Three of the main things I'm watching right now, for sure. All three of those. Yeah, that's Waiting for Mandalorian, which we talked about, and those three shows are what I'm tuning into. Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of hitting a lack of TV here in the aspect of so many of the regular weekly shows been pushed back to January because of filming delays from COVID and everything like that, like all the WB shows and things like that. But we'll get this straightened out, and we're going to cap, but we got some good stuff coming up. I'm loving the things Disney Plus is doing. Eventually we'll have movies in the theater that we can start feeling comfortable going back to the theaters on a regular basis. But you know what? I want to thank everybody for listening. Steve, I want to thank you for coming in and filling in on Kevin's chair. I promise Kevin, he won't leave too many beard crumbs in it while you're gone. But no, I've known this man.
Between the dog leaves less crumbs than I do, but yeah, you might have to clean up a little bit around here.
I've known this guy for over 20 years. One of my best friends, one of my brothers. You know what? He's a good guy. I'm glad to have him finally on the podcast. Hopefully he's going to come back and do a little bit more with the Fandom Podcast Network, maybe a little Couch Potato Theater, another fill-in on Culture Clash down the line. And see, Florida, lightning strikes again.
Yes. I think you were saying something nice about me, but that's usually what happens when somebody says something nice about me, Kyle. It freezes.
I've actually seen this happen more than once, so it's the truth. Yeah. But again, Steve, thanks so much for filling in. I hope this isn't the first time you're on the network. You know,
It is the first time, but I hope it's not the last time. And it was my pleasure completely. I look forward to future fill-ins or just join in the party. I can't wait to find out how Kevin's little road trip. It sounds almost like the movie Hangover.
Yeah, well, you know, if he comes back with a tiger and a face tattoo.
And Mike Tyson's at his wedding. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Culture Clashers. It's been a pleasure. Check out Cheeky Pint and Steve's Everything Cool podcast on Spotify. It's not near as exciting as this, but we talk about some fun stuff. And all I got to say is cheers, and we'll get through 2020 together.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, too, I do want to shout out happy birthday to Kevin. I said this on Facebook, but man, 5 years ago when I brought this up to do at Dragon Con, I didn't know I was going to not only get a podcast partner, but a great friend, a brother, and I love you, man. Happy 50th. Enjoy Vegas. I promise not to say anything to Aaron about whatever happens in Vegas that you tell me about, but have a blast. Do your Raiders thing, man. Have a good time. Enjoy it. You've earned it. I'm the old folks home will be waiting for you when you get back. I've already made those arrangements for you, man. Love you, brother. And as for the rest of you out there, thanks for tuning in to Culture Clash. And always around here, as the prophets say, be excellent to each other. And as we say around here, enjoy your fandom.